This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
January 13th of 2025. It is a very, very cold start here in central Wisconsin. At our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau, fair skies. So you look up, some blue skies. Sun is starting to come out as our days are getting longer. And the temperature, though, does not look like a pleasant start. 5 degrees below zero here in downtown Wausau. And then you add in the wind chill. The winds are out of the west at 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 24 miles per hour. So that gives us a wind chill factor of 26 below zero. Bundle up. It is the start of the dog days of winter, and especially when the Packer season comes to an end. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to YouTube.com. We do have now a WXCO YouTube channel. And every morning you can catch our program live on YouTube. So again, just go to the 98.9 WXCO YouTube channel, and then you'll be able to tune in with us there. You can see our studio. You can see me talking. You can, when you have guests come into the studio, see them as well. So again, you can join us at YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel. You can subscribe. Never miss any of our programs there as well. So, again, very, very chilly start. If you'd like to join us here on the program, you can call us or text us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Join us that way and be with us through your comments, your questions, anything that's on your mind, whether we're talking about it or not. And, again, also, if you have not already downloaded the Civic Media app yet, you should do that because then it's real easy. You just open up the app. You'll see all the stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. Open up 98.9 WXCO. It's the fourth one down. You'll have an opportunity to go to our website, send us an email, listen to us live, and then it'll say text and call. Real easy. Don't have to dial in any numbers. Just hit the button to text. Just hit the button to call, and you'll be able to join the program that way as well. Hey, coming up on the program, coming up in about, 11 minutes or so, we'll be joined by meteorologist Brittany Merlot. She'll let us know about this very cold start to the work week. How long will it stick around? Are we going to see some warmer temperatures anytime soon? Well, the question, the answer to that is, yeah, well, eventually we are going to warm up just a little bit later on in the week. But it's going to be a very cold start weather-wise, and we'll find out about the details with Brittany Merlot coming up. Also talk a bit about the snow that we got. So we look outside, we actually see snow on the ground for the first time in a while. We've seen little patches of snow, but not really anything significant up to this point. So snow on the ground, cold weather, wind chills. Lots to talk about with Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:21. Also coming up later in the program, we'll be joined by 18th District State Senator Kristen Alfheim. She is a brand new senator. She was sworn in last Monday in Madison. She is representing the eastern part of the state over in the Appleton area. But she is a native here of Marathon County. She and I went to school together. In fact, we both graduated from D.C. Everest the same year, quite a while ago. But she's had a wonderful career, and she's been somebody that's worked for people throughout her life, but now she gets an opportunity to do it as a elected official. And she was the winner in the 18th District State Senate race in November. She's been sworn in. She's got her committee assignments, and we'll talk a little bit about the end of that journey in terms of running for office, going through a lot to get there. She had run previously for the state assembly, did not win a couple of years ago, but then decided to run again, this time for the state senate, was able to win this one. Talk about that journey, talk about the priorities that she has going into her new role, talk about how the tighter state assembly and state senate in terms of the Republican majorities will affect how the bodies work in this session. Got the budget coming up. I mean, there's a lot to go into with Kristen Alfheim, 18th District State Senator, coming up at 9:34 this morning. And then, of course, at the end of the program, we will have our daily history lesson, talk about some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history, talk about some of the famous folks who are celebrating their birthdays today, talk about some of the special events being acknowledged both today and this week. And then at the end of the show, roughly 9:56 in the morning, we turn our attention to the number for the day, and we do it as a quiz. And it's been interesting. I've had people come up to me and talk about the number for the day quiz and how well Ian does with it. And I think people are out there, they're tuned in, they wait till the end of the show, and then they see, can Ian do it? Can Ian get the win? Can Ian have a passing grade? Can Ian have a winning week? Can Ian get to his best week ever? Can Ian ever have a perfect week? And we will have our number for the day quiz coming up at 9:56 this morning on the show. So stick around right to the end and see if Ian can get off to a good start. And speaking of which, across the way, behind the glass, in our little setup here, we have the studio where I sit, and then we have a big piece of glass, and then on the other side of the glass is Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer. Good morning, Ian Welsh.
Good morning, Chad. Happy Monday. Definitely a cold one, like you said.
Vehicle start up okay?
It did. Auto start in my car was working just fine. Getting the ice off my car was another story.
Did you take your time? Because with that snow that we had, yeah. Because there are some slick spots. Even if you're walking, I was walking from the parking ramp where I park every morning here to the station, which is a little more than a block. And obviously on a cold day like today, it's you know, it's a block too long, but I was just walking. All of a sudden, I hit this little piece of ice on the sidewalk and nearly took a tumble. And as I get older, cannot afford to take tumbles.
Oh, gosh.
so again, you may not think it. You know, you see the sun is out. You know, there's not any snow falling right now. But whether you're on the road or on the sidewalk, there are some areas of ice and some areas that you could slip and fall down. So as you get ready to head on out, start your day, start your week, make sure that you are aware that take that little extra time. Make sure that you take that little extra, give yourself a few extra minutes to get to work or to get to school or wherever you're going as we start off this new work week.
Absolutely.
And it's actually kind of, I would say, apropos to have a true winter Monday morning. I mean, we haven't had too many of these true winter days.
No, we
where
have not.
We have the snow out there, you have the cold weather, not just cold, but bitterly cold weather. When you have wind chill factors that are in the mid 20 below zero, that's a Wisconsin winter morning.
Absolutely.
But normally, for a lot of folks, winter does not start on December 21st. Winter does not start at the start of December. Winter starts the day after the Packers end their season. And the Packers saw their season come to an end yesterday in Philadelphia.
That game was incredibly tough to watch, especially since, what was it, like five Packers players were out with injuries then?
And the thing about those injuries, sometimes, you know, guys get banged up. You know, they get knocked down. You have the trainer come out.
Well, yeah.
They take a look at you.
Contact a sport. It's
but often,
it's gonna happen.
Often that those are not serious injuries. So you'll go off for a play or two, come back in. But you had players that, you know, suffered a dislocated shoulder, a concussion. At the end, a broken leg. I mean, these were significant injuries that not just, you know, caused players to leave for a play or two, but knocked them out of the game. And in the end, the Packers just did not have enough. You got off to a slow start, missed a short field goal, just never really, you know, right away in the game. You know, you give up the ball in the opening kickoff, and then all of a sudden you're down 7-0. You're down right away in the first 2 minutes of the game, and then all of a sudden you're playing from behind. Offense had its struggles, especially in the first half. And then when you finally get going, when you finally get to get a touchdown, you get it to within 6 points, you think, okay, maybe there's a chance here. And then Philadelphia takes it right down the field and gets that touchdown to make it a two-score game. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those games where anytime the Packers would take one step forward, they take two steps back. And in the end, it just turns into a very disappointing end to the season with the losses to the Vikings and Bears to wrap up the regular season and then to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, hopefully it can be mostly a recovering season for the Packers with all these injuries. But I think this might be good for them to, you know, now that they're out for the rest of the season, they can, you know, take the time to heal, and then they can reevaluate their strategies, you know, things that went wrong, things they can improve on, and then they can be all set to go for next season.
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it, but
as an optimist, I always say that there's always next season.
Well, for right? Packer fans, though, it's a long off season. I think football can be that way in terms of the long off season. When you look at when football begins, actually, the regular season always starts just after Labor Day, usually, or maybe in that general area, so in early September. Then the regular season goes to early January. And then, of course, if you're lucky enough to have a team that makes it to the Super Bowl, it ends up in early February. But compared to, say, baseball or basketball or hockey, the football season is actually much shorter. So for the true blue football fans and the Packer fans, it is a very, very long off season. We'll talk more about what happened in the NFL playoffs and sports a little bit later on, talk a little bit about what's been going on politically as we get to the final days of the Biden administration. 7 days from today, Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C., so plenty to talk about there. The wildfires continue in California. A lot to get into this morning. But coming up next, we'll talk about the weather with Brittany Merlot. That's straight ahead. The time is 8:18. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22, again, a very cold start here in central Wisconsin at our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 5 degrees below zero with a wind chill of 26 below. Yep, it is a true winter Monday morning. And how long will it stay this cold? What can we expect for the early part of this week and a whole bunch more? How much snow did we get over the weekend? We were looking at, you know, maybe 2 to 4 inches, but in the end, not quite as much. So plenty to talk about weather-wise as we welcome in our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. Gosh, this Monday hurts worse than the rest, doesn't it?
It is.
There's so many reasons why, too.
Yeah, it's the start of the dog days of winter, because I think we talk often about when does winter really start? Does it start on the official day that they say, what, December the 21st? Does it start at December the 1st, basically, in that, you know, the quarters, in terms of the way that we look at it weather-wise? But for many people, the start of winter is the day after the Packers lose their final game. The long, cold winter begins.
Seriously, and that game was a natural disaster. I was like, what is happening? My gosh. Oh,
yeah, okay, that was one they earned their final game of the season.
Yeah.
And a lot of healing.
All the injuries.
I know, a lot of healing to be done in the off season as well. Hey, let's start with the weekend itself, because obviously when we last spoke on Friday, we were talking about the potential of some snow on the weekend, starting on Saturday night going into Sunday. We did get some snow, but not quite as much as maybe we were thinking or maybe what we were hoping for.
No, these systems just really are not packing a punch, the ones that at least are coming through our state. All the model runs were showing this is going to be a system that covers everything statewide. They're going to get 1 to 3 inches even in the southern part of the state. So guaranteed north of Highway 29, 2 to 4 inches. I mean, every single model run lined up that way. But what actually happened is, well, 2 to 4 inches was really just hugging Lake Superior and into the Northwoods. And it dwindled as it got into central Wisconsin and nothing further south. So areas that thought they were going to get 1 to 3 inches didn't even see a trace. And here for us, we saw a trace to about 2 inches. And then it kind of mixed in with some freezing drizzle throughout yesterday afternoon. So some very, very icy, slick spots. And then temperatures started crashing below that. I mean, they were flirting with 30 degrees for a minute there yesterday. And then started to drop below, creating even more slick and slippery spots. So I'm glad we didn't get 2 to 4 inches, because I couldn't imagine the 2 to 4 inches with a little bit of freezing rain and drizzle too. But yeah, they got it off of Lake Superior and they're not done. I think this winter is really just a lake effect event. I don't see any more systems coming through Wisconsin, at least this week. And I don't see any for next week either. It's pretty minimal. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on here this winter, to be honest with you. It's different.
Well, it seems to be kind of like last year, though. I mean, we're just not getting much snow anymore. And I think ultimately it's going to lead to maybe some discussions on what are we nowadays? Are we a place that gets a lot of snow? Are we a place that we can assume we're not going to get a lot of snow? Because, I mean, we just are not getting the same kind of significant snow events that we used to on a kind of a regular basis. I mean, there were times I recalled that wasn't that long ago, really, where you get a few inches of snow, and then a few days later get a few inches of snow, and then get a bigger dump of snow. I mean, it just seems as though maybe, I would imagine there's a lot of studies being done right now with folks in your field to kind of figure out where are we going, because right now it just feels a lot different than it used to.
Yes, it really, really does. I do know that there's a lot of research going on, and especially when you look out west, all of the wildfires, just everything is just a little off. Everything's different. We're trying to all adjust to what's going on here. You know, we go from extreme drought to heavy rains to no snow to the Arctic cold hitting. And then people are like, well, there's no way there's climate change happening when we're this cold. How can it be a thing? But you see that jet stream shifting, the patterns shifting, the storm's not hitting us. Our average snow total is not even coming anywhere close to that. But the good news is, I say, at least up north where the snowmobile trails are, the lake effect is still ongoing. They are looking at 2 to 5 inches just today. So I do think that a lot of snowmobile trails along Lake Superior will be opening in the next week or so. So that's good for them, but not for the rest of us who we used to do that too.
No kidding. Hey, and today, obviously, in the aftermath of the snow, we got really cold. I mean, bitterly cold here to start. How long is this bitterly cold weather going to stick around? Are we expecting it to be cold throughout the week? What are you seeing?
I am seeing we're stuck in it today and tomorrow. Then we're going to have a little bit of a warm-up, getting more mild on Wednesday, soaring above freezing on Thursday and Friday. So, and then we drop back cold for the weekend. So a little bit of everything going on here. What's happening again is another system staying south. So that's why we're getting warm Thursday and Friday, but we're not looking at any precipitation because that's staying away from us. Again, we're in a snow hole here. It's like a donut hole in Wisconsin. What's happening?
And you said it, man, last thing you want to hear right now, for anybody that is hoping to use the snow above freezing, then it goes away.
And then our little 1.8 inches that we got yesterday will melt away potentially on Friday, which is sad, sad, sad news because it gets cold again for the weekend. And when you have the cold, you want the snow. We have the cold to support it, but we can't play in it because there's not much going on there.
All right. Well, what are the details here early in the work week?
All right. So high temperatures today, 5 degrees. What it's really going to be feeling like with winds at about 30 miles per hour, 5 below. So that's our high temperature for today. We're going from 26 below feeling like right now to a high of 5 below. Tomorrow temperatures will hit actual temperatures, 11 degrees, but again, feeling more like zero. So cold today, cold tomorrow. A few flurries could be flying around early tomorrow morning, but no accumulations, just a trace out there. Sunshine abundant today, abundant on Wednesday. Temperatures will climb into the 20s by Wednesday, and then the clouds roll in. So cloudy, a little bit more dreary Thursday, Friday, but temperatures on Thursday hit 33, and then for Friday, 35 degrees, with places in southern Wisconsin hitting 40. So bye-bye snowfall. But we do fall back to the teens for the weekend.
All right. Well, bundle up today and tomorrow. But again, thanks for the info, Brittany. Have yourself a great rest of your Monday.
Bye, thanks, Brittany.
You too. Bye, guys.
Right now, again, it is cold, 5 below 0, wind chill factor of 26 below. More to come.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, coming up in the second hour of the program, we'll be joined by 18th State Senate District Senator Kristen Alfheim. She was sworn in for her seat. Democrats representing parts of eastern Wisconsin, including Appleton. She is a native here of central Wisconsin. She was a classmate of mine back in our school days, graduating in the same class from D.C. Everest many a year ago. So we'll talk to Kristen Alfheim about her new job and some of the issues that she'll be facing, and also some of the committee assignments she's had. Just get a sense of what's going to be happening in Madison when it comes to the state legislature here at the start of the new session. She'll be with us at 9:34 this morning on the program. Also coming up tonight, we have high school hockey. I'll be heading over to Chippewa Falls as the Wausau West Warriors look to extend their 5-game win streak. Wausau West will take on Chippewa Falls. It's a makeup of a matchup that was snowed out last December, just a few weeks ago. And we'll have coverage beginning with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 o'clock. That's Wausau West hockey at Chippewa Falls tonight, 6:50 airtime, right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can join us by giving us a call or a text at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. If you have anything on your mind, just send us a text or give us a call. you can hear the friendly voice of Ian Welsh at the other end of the line. This weekend, obviously, a lot of news going on in terms of the continuing wildfires in Southern California. And yesterday, on one of the Sunday talk shows, and there's, I think it was on CBS, if I'm not mistaken, but I can't. There's so many of them. they're all over the place. Senator Barrasso of Wyoming was asked about government aid for the people who are suffering right now in Southern California. And he said that, yes, he expects that Congress will pass aid with strings. And it really annoyed me. The idea, and the idea is, California is not a Trump state. So we got to put strings on it, because if you're not a Trump state, you don't deserve help as much as Trump states do. That gets really, really, really annoying. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen here. Is Donald Trump going to put a litmus test on states whether or not they supported him in the presidential election? And again, the idea of this senator from the state of Wyoming talking about strings, because it's always been Republicans for years and years and years that have talked about having no strings, to let local people decide how to use their tax dollars or their the money that comes from the government. So again, it's going to be very interesting to see how Donald Trump uses loyalty tests, not just in this case, but in others as we continue. And the idea that they would be continuing to make that point is baffling. And also the idea, again, that people like Trump and J.D. Vance and others are continually just been railing on government officials and others who are in the midst of this battle to try and save lives and save property and going through incredibly difficult times. And yet Trump and his minions are still on social media just ridiculing over and over and over again. We talk often about our leaders needing to speak to our better angels, our better sides. And we're seeing it even before they take office. Again, the idea of you're either for us or you're against us. And if you're against us, anything bad that happens is all on you. And just shake your head. And this comes after last week's activities involving the funeral of Jimmy Carter. And over the weekend, I actually did sit down and I watched the entirety of that service from the National Cathedral. And then I also watched, after the service at the National Cathedral, they flew his body back to his hometown of Plains, Georgia, and they had this service in that very small church that Jimmy Carter had worshipped at for many, many, many years. He had not just worshipped there, but he taught Sunday school there as well. But something that stood out during the course of watching the services, both in Georgia and especially the one in Washington, D.C., was the eulogies that were given, first by the son of the former vice president of the United States, Walter Mondale. Walter Mondale, before he passed away, had written a eulogy to Jimmy Carter that he had his son read, and also the eulogy that was read by the son of former President Gerald Ford, Steve Ford. And both of those were eulogies that were written pre-Donald Trump. And yet it sounded like they could have been spoken to Donald Trump sitting there in the second row, talking about honesty, talking about integrity, talking about the better angels, talking about, you know, just all the positive aspects that any public servant should bring to the table. And you would have hoped that Trump, sitting there listening to these words, would have taken them somehow to heart, in some way to heart, to say, hey, maybe as part of this position, the second time around, I'm going to try to be a true leader. I'm going to try to be somebody that makes our country a better place, makes the lives of our people just a little bit better. But yet he would go immediately from these moving words that were spoken at Jimmy Carter's funeral right back to his phone, right back to his social media, and to put out hateful media postings towards people that are fighting for their lives in California. And then also making hateful postings about the current president and others who are politically different than he is. It's just wrong on every level. And I have tried to say, okay, maybe he's going to grow up just a little bit, but I don't see it happening. And now as we start this new week, the final week of the Biden administration, we are now seeing the beginning of some of the confirmation hearings for the team that Donald Trump has selected to work with him in his second administration. And I found as well this weekend on some of the Sunday talk shows, these Republicans who are using the wildfires in California to say, well, Donald Trump needs his team confirmed immediately in order for them to get to work right away next Monday. No. 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 Right now, the United States Senate has a responsibility to have a true confirmation hearing and to hear from witnesses and to hear the information that has been researched by the FBI and others about these people that Donald Trump wants to serve in his cabinet and as part of his official family. And one that I am still a little bit surprised has not been removed as a potential cabinet pick is Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth has been a Fox News host for a number of years. There has been a mountain of evidence that shows that he is not up to snuff to serve in one of the most important cabinet positions, Secretary of Defense. Should there be armed conflict that involves the United States of America in the next 4 years, the Secretary of Defense will be one of the most important people, not only in our government, but in the country and in the world. And Pete Hegseth has a laundry list of questionable actions and questionable statements. And one of which that, you know, ultimately, I don't think would indicate whether he could do the job or not, but also says about his thinking that I find concerning when it comes to his ideas about the removal of the names of Confederate generals from U.S. military bases that has occurred in the past decade. Hegseth has voiced over and over again strong opposition to removing the names of Confederate generals. He is a National Guard veteran, longtime Fox News host, and he described the renaming efforts as a sham, garbage, and, using some really high language here, crap, in various media appearances between 2021 and 2024, reviewed by CNN. Hegseth said the moves eroded military tradition, and what he said were part of what he characterized as a politically motivated progressive agenda infiltrating American institutions. Between 2022 and 2023, the names of 9 U.S. military bases previously dedicated to Confederate leaders were changed, the result of the National Defense Authorization Act passed at the end of the first Trump administration. Trump initially vetoed the bill, partly in protest over the renaming provision, but Congress overwhelmingly overrode the veto to pass the bill in January of 2021. As Secretary of Defense, Hegseth could advocate for reverting base names to their former Confederate names, but the change would require congressional approval. And not only has it been the names of these bases that have put him behind, I think, the times, he has also criticized other cultural shifts in the military, including allowing women to serve in combat roles and gay service members to serve openly. During his 2024 book tour promoting The War on Warriors, Hegseth frequently criticized the decision to rename military bases, calling it an erasure of legacy and tradition. And the thing about it, one example that he gave was North Carolina's Fort Liberty, which was previously Fort Bragg. He says, we should change it back to Fort Bragg. We should change it back, change it back, change it back. He said it four times. Because legacy matters. And he says, my uncle served at Bragg. I served at Bragg. It breaks a generational link. Not only was Fort Bragg, which is one of the largest army bases in the United States, named for Braxton Bragg, a general in the Confederacy. That's bad enough. But, you know, Donald Trump likes to talk about how he likes winners. He doesn't like losers. Donald Trump always talks about winners. Well, Braxton Bragg not only was a traitor, not only was a traitor to this country and a Confederate general, he was a loser. Braxton Bragg was a slave owner who lost nearly every battle he was involved in during the Civil War. It wasn't just a break-even kind of thing, or maybe he lost a couple more than he won. He lost almost every single battle he was involved in during the Civil War. And a naming commission set up by Congress to study renaming bases noted Bragg is, quote, considered one of the worst generals of the Civil War and was widely disliked in the pre-Civil War U.S. Army and within the Confederate Army by peers and subordinates alike. This is the guy that Pete Hegseth is fighting for. We got to take a quick timeout. The time is 8:49. Look up Braxton Bragg if you have a few moments today. This is the guy that, well, should be honored by the United States of America? I think not. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And you can also...
I thought that song would be inappropriate, a segue to what you were just talking about.
Absolutely. And Civic Media app, you can download. Just go to your app store, search out Civic Media. Free. It's always free. And also, again, you can join us by going to youtube.com and the 98.9 WXCO page, and we stream the show there on YouTube now. So, again, got that YouTube stream back. So that's very cool indeed. So lots of ways to be with us here every weekday morning on 98.9 WXCO. Yeah, I think it's crazy that this country decided to elect a 34-time convicted felon as president of the United States. And yep, next Monday, the first time in this country's history, we will have a convicted felon put his hand on the Bible and swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, something he's already failed to do in his first term. I think it's crazy that we have Pete Hegseth still as the nominee for the Defense Department. Would have thought he would have been removed by now because of everything that's come out. It's also crazy that we are still talking about Tulsi Gabbard as the person to run the office of the Director of National Intelligence. And
what I think is crazy is how you were talking about in the last segment how, you know, we should honor a legacy and a tradition, and yet Trump and his allies have been trying to whitewash history for who knows how many years. Just the irony of that, and just the, it's totally crazy.
Exactly right. And right now, Trump's allies in the United States Senate have been pushing to hold these confirmation hearings quickly, and they will have the Hegseth confirmation hearing coming up. They also were pushing to hold a confirmation hearing for Tulsi Gabbard before Trump's inauguration, but Democrats are resisting setting a date for this week because the Intelligence Committee has not yet received key paperwork on the nomination, including an FBI background check. I would say that getting an FBI background check on somebody that we have questions about when it comes to some of her contacts with foreign governments would be pretty important. So I think the Democrats better keep a spine here when it comes to what is going on with these hearings. And the FBI background check for Tulsi Gabbard will be very, very important. And she has got, number one, very little experience in the intelligence community, and her public positions have been just frankly strange. Her positions on her favoring of Assad in Syria over the years, the war in Ukraine, many national security officials have been seeing her basically as a Russian propagandist. And again, this is nuts. This is nuts that not only Donald Trump has put some just incredibly unqualified and maybe, frankly, wrong-headed people into these important offices, the fact that there's a chance, and frankly, I will have to see it before I believe it, that Republicans would say no to Donald Trump. Republicans still have majorities. If Republicans hold line on these nominations, they will be passed. And Donald Trump has shown that he doesn't like it, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you don't fall into line on his decisions. So despite the fact that Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard and Linda McMahon and others have been shown to be completely unqualified for these positions, I will have to see it to believe it before I think that that Republicans would say no to a Donald Trump nomination. And also, we've talked about the media and the bowing down to Trump from some of the richest folks in the country and in the world. Over the weekend, Jeff Bezos, Washington Post, actually said that the Senate should confirm a bunch of different Trump nominations. I mean, it's nuts. Jeff Bezos, back in November, said, no, we're not going to give endorsements in the presidential race. That would be wrong. We're going to let people make up their own decision, when he spiked an editorial endorsing Kamala Harris for president of the United States. And
then, what he's doing now.
And then over the weekend, the Washington Post editorial page gave endorsements for four different Trump nominees for cabinet positions. A complete hypocritical move by Bezos and the Washington Post.
That's exactly right.
Again, it's just, there's so many things that make you shake your head right now, but I am curious to watch these nomination hearings and to see if the United States Senate, which is an equal branch of government, stands up and does its duty. This is not supposed to be a rubber stamp of Donald Trump's picks. If these folks have red flags and should not be approved, the Senate needs to stand up and say, no, we're not going to approve it. So be very, very curious indeed.
Please have some courage.
Coming up in the second hour of the program, we will be again talking to 18th State Senate District Senator Kristen Alfheim coming up at 9:34. We will have our daily history lesson, including our number for the day quiz, coming up in the last segment as well. But first, we're going to find out, hey, what's going on with Pete Hegseth and the news of the day? That's coming up next. Our information update here on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.